Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this fall Sunday. As we gather here today, it's going to be freezing tonight. So I don't know how many of you are ready for that. Now it's 63. Tomorrow this time will be about 30 or 31, about half of what we have now. So every season is a blessing from God. So let us be thankful for our life, the gift that God has given us to live in this world. One more day that God has given us to gather in His name to worship together in this church and also online. Let us be thankful for that. Amen. Today is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. This Pentecost season is a time where we study our faith, various aspects of our faith and the practical life, how we can do a successful Christian life in this world. And we continue to do the study of the book of James during this time. And this week also, we celebrate Veterans Day on Tuesday. So this Sunday, we remember and honor the dedication and service of all U.S. military veterans, living and dead. That we thank them for their services, and also we honor them during this Sunday as a church. The announcements are listed in the second page. Those are the regular announcements that I have. That the food bank ministry continues. Please donate in cash or in kind. The book also will benefit the mission work of our church. Our third Thursday luncheon will be November 20th, Thursday at 1 p.m. at Golden Corral. Please join for a time of lunch and fellowship. Our holiday donations, we have identified two families that we need to support during this holiday season with food, supplies and clothing and rent. So we are estimating probably $300 per family, so probably about $600 that we can raise. We have done that in the past, so please donate in cash if you could, as much as you can, and then we'll hopefully we can support these two families. And thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of the church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Please continue to support this church in various ways that we are doing now. And also use the online facilities on our website to donate whatever way you like, by credit card or debit card or bank draft. And please use that those options available. Those are the announcements that I have. I don't have anything else. Anybody have any other announcements? If not, let us worship God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 140 in the blue book. Great is thy faithfulness. Yeah, please stand if you are able.
Thank you.
Join with our linger in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to gather in your name here in this church and also online. Thank you for the gift of life and the many blessings that you shower upon us every day. The good health and strength you have given us in our bodies to gather to worship you as your children. And we thank you for the gift of eternal life that you have given through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world from heaven and suffered and died for us and rose from the dead so that we can have eternal life with you after our life in this world. We thank you for your presence in our midst today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. As also we remember and honor all the veterans, living and dead, who serve this country in many different ways. We thank you for their services to this country, and we pray for those who continue to serve in the military. We remember all these servants with gratitude, and we thank you for their courage and strength for protecting us and our freedom. For those who serve this country in this hour of need, and especially for those who gave even their lives, we remember them, O God. We pray for the leaders of the government, our president, vice president, and cabinet members, and all those who make decisions. Grant them wisdom, O God, to do good in the spirit of peace and justice. Help us also, God, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, and to fight despite the pains of wounds, to labor without asking for reward. Enable us to be more dedicated servants for your kingdom and faithfully living out our lives with the care and compassion that you have shown to this world. We thank you again for your presence in our midst. Bless each and every one of us according to our needs of our hearts and our lives. May the services of word and praise we offer today bring honor and glory to the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. So fellowship time now, if you are able, please stand up and greet each other. Good morning.
Congregation choice today comes from Norman, and it's in the garden, page 314. And not only is that his favorite, but that was my mother's all-time favorite. So please stand and sing with us in the garden.
Now we'll do the responsive reading, which is Psalm 130. It's on page 848 on the blue book. If you are able, please stand and do the responsive.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand?
But there is forgiveness with you, and you may be worthy.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. In the Lord's word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is a steadfast love. With the Lord is plenteous redemption.
And the Lord will redeem Israel from all iniquity.
The word of God for people of God.
Thanks be to God. Now please be seated. As we come at the prayer time, we will share our prayers of blessings and thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we'll share our burdens and concerns, our griefs and our sicknesses and pains, that God will listen to our prayers and answer according to his time and his will. The scripture says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. So let us come to the presence of God with our prayers of praises and concerns. The regular prayer requests are listed at the back of the bulletin, in the boxes listed there. Please continue to pray for these people and these items. Jean McBrayer and Grace Haynes, Harry Basil, Carol Clemens, Aaron Bartolo, Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway, Harry Crumlin, Pam, Lisa's mom. Please keep these prayers, these people in your prayers for their healing. Many of them are recovering, and thanks be to God for the progress of their recovery at this time. Let us also pray for world peace and the world leaders, that they will fear God when they make decisions that will bring peace to this world. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, delivery clerks and grocery clerks, many, many others, construction workers, farmers that serve us on a daily basis. Let us be thankful for their services and pray for them and pray for their families. Pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress and all those who make decisions, especially during this time of shutdown, that they can come to a decision to open the government and start normal functioning. So let us keep them in our prayers and that God will give them the right wisdom and guidance during this time. Let us pray for our church and be thankful for the opportunities that God has given us in this community to serve, so that we can faithfully serve God in this area. Let us also pray for all the churches in this area, the pastors, the ministers, many, many others who are serving in various different ways. Also the world church at large, missionaries and many others who work in various parts of the world. Let us remember them in our prayers and lift them up to the powerful hands of God. Those are the prayer requests that I have to share with you. If anybody have any special call-outs, we can do that at this time.
I want you to pray for my older sister. She's not doing good at all.
Her older sister. What's her name?
Ruth Thompson.
Oh, Ruth Thompson. We have prayed for her before. Mm-hmm. Ruth Thompson.
Yeah.
Lou's sister, please keep her in our prayers. Mm-hmm. If there's no special calls for prayer, let us go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, then I'll close with a summarized prayer after that. Let's pray. Thank you. Scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Merciful and gracious God, we come before you as your children, with our prayers of thanksgiving and also prayers of burdens. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us every day. Thank you for the gift of life that you gave us to live in this world. Thank you for the health and strength physically and spiritually and mentally that you give us every day. Also, you gave us today to come here to worship together. Above all, we thank you for the gift of eternity that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom you have shared your kingdom with us, that we can enjoy the presence and the joy of your presence in our lives. We thank you for your many blessings. And we also come before you with our burdens and concerns, O God. We are broken in many different ways, and many of us need healing in our bodies. Especially we pray for the ones that we have lifted up, Jean and Grace, Harry, Carol, Ed and Bartolo, Jerry Rains, Sean and Amy Conway, Harry Crumlin, and Pam. Continue to bless them with your healing, O God. We pray for Ruth Thompson also. As people are looking for you, we looking for your presence and healing. Lord, we pray that you will fill them with your peace above all and give their families peace during this time. We know that you will heal your dear ones according to your will and your time. We thank you for always being there and comforting them with your presence. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many others who serve us on a daily basis. We thank you for their services, and we pray for them and for their families. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who serve us. Give them the wisdom to do the right things and also to make the right decisions. Especially we pray for our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions, that they will come to a decision during this time of shutdown, that you will open a way that they can come to a decision soon, Lord. Give them the guidance and the wisdom that they need during this time. We pray for world leaders also, that we pray for world peace as they make decisions, that they will fear God and bring peace to this world. We pray for our church, and we thank you for this time that you have given us to serve you in this community. Help us to use the opportunities you give us faithfully, Lord. And we pray for all the churches and pastors and leaders and all those who are working in this area. Bless them with your guidance. Strengthen them with your power of the Spirit. We pray for all those missionaries and others who work around the world in many difficult parts of the world. Bless them with your gracious presence, O God, and empower them the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, today to worship you in truth and in spirit. Touch each and every one of us according to our heart's desires and our needs, O God. May your name be lifted up and your people be blessed. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory, please.
Please stand for the doxology.
Father.
Father, thank you again for this beautiful day. Thank you that you continue to work in our lives and that we can gather here together to worship you, and we love you. We pray that you bless this offering and use it to further your kingdom, and just keep us in mind for the needs of others. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which today comes from the book of James, chapter 5, the whole chapter. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no, otherwise you will be condemned. Is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you shall wander from the truth, and someone shall bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Peace be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you gave us to be life and spirit in this world. And also you send your Son in the form of flesh and blood, the living word, so that we can experience the power of your word in our lives on a daily basis. We thank you for the word that you are going to share with us today, Lord. Open our hearts so that we can receive the word in obedience and humility. Illumine our souls, O God, so that we can understand the meaning of the message that we hear from you, O God. Help us to be humble before you and your spirit, so that your word will become a source of blessing, not only to us, but also to others through us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We continue the studies of the scripture, particularly the non-Pauline letters, the letters that are in the Bible that are not written by Paul. Those are small letters, and there are about 14 letters that Paul wrote. And there are many others that we call non-Pauline letters. And we studied Jude and James, and that's what the end of James that we are here today. And we learned a lot of practical wisdom from the book of James in the past few Sundays. It is called the Proverbs of the New Testament, many people call it, because it's about practical wisdom, words of wisdom. And we talked about how to control our tongue, our words, how our actions should display our faith. Faith without actions is dead. That's what his main theme is. So if we are Christians, we ought to show that in not only just in our words, but also in our actions. Without that, there is no faith. And also, he is coming to the conclusion of this book, telling people that our living faith that he already talked about, we discussed that dynamic faith. Our faith is a dynamic faith. It's a living, ongoing faith. It's not static faith. It's growing faith. So he's talking about this at the end of this book on chapter 5 about the need for spending time with the Word of God, compassion, patience, perseverance, and prayer. As we come to the winter season, we all know, I don't know if you have that, our skin start tightening. And you will feel some kind of a tightening when we come to the cold season. Have you ever wondered why it is? I thought it was always because we are getting older. But it is not. When I looked it up, it's not me. It's not just about me, right? Everybody gets that. It's about a problem that we think, and we put a lot of lotions and oils and vaselines and all kinds of stuff on the skin, but the problem is not on the skin. The problem is inside, that the skin is getting drier, and we need to take more and more water in during winter time, and because the heat, especially in the during the heat when we turn on in the house, it actually dries off your skin and more water evaporates. It's always good to have lotion and Vaseline to protect the water evaporation, but in winter, more than in summer, you have to drink water, which we don't, and I don't enough. So please keep that in mind. I learned that lesson. If you don't drink that water, not only you get this, but also you get other sickness in your body. So that's the same thing with our scripture. We need lighter and tighter in some seasons of our life. The colder seasons of our life, we feel cold about our faith, and we sometimes get frozen up in our Christian life and doesn't see that don't seem like we are moving anywhere or doing anything. So during this time, we need to take in more of the scripture. That's what James is telling through this book, that you need to understand the scriptures and take in more and more the word of God so that we can be nourished in our souls and have a healthy Christian faith. Our spiritual lives can be dry at times, and studying the Word of God may decrease the problems that we are facing. Studying and spending time on the Word of God nourishes our souls from drying out. So as we come to the close of this chapter, this book in James chapter 5, the whole letter is concluding this book. We're summarizing all the things that he talked about in the previous four chapters about caring, about enduring our faith and our actions, and also the restoration of our faith and caring for each other in love and prayer. Faith and compassion, he talks about in the first few verses. They are very harsh words about rich people. Have you noticed that? Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. He is very, very sharp on rich people. Because at those times, and even now, a lot of people get rich. I mean, a lot of people get rich because of their work and efforts, I agree. But some people exploit others and then become rich. And that was very common, especially during those times. In the name of religion, in the name of church, right? You don't do that here, I hope not. But these are all the things that he's talking about, the evil things in the society that he saw, that your gold and silver are corroded. And they are going to testify against you, and they will eat you your flesh like fire. Many times, I mean, I don't have to tell you, richness in this world is all about the richness of money.
Amen.
Right? That's what we are used to. If you are rich, you are considered to be successful. Mm-hmm. No matter how you earn that money, people don't really think about that, right? If you are a millionaire or billionaire, how you earn that money. And he's saying, he's not condemning wealth itself. He's not saying that earning wealth or money is wrong. He's addressing the misuse of wealth, the greed and the arrogance that can take root in the heart. And along with becoming rich and wealthy, people become arrogant and rude. And then that's what he's saying, you have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter because of your self-indulgence. You know, don't want to say anything wrong with the rich people, but if all the rich people, I believe it's the top 1% or 2%, if they all get together and accumulate their profits, I think we can solve a lot of poverty in this world.
Amen.
Yesterday or day before yesterday, you heard the news that one CEO, his compensation package came up to $1 trillion.
Amen.
I can't even count that in my lifetime.
More than Nancy Pelosi.
I don't know. I don't know how much she makes. But that's the world we are in. You know, countless amount of money accumulated in certain... It's nothing wrong. I mean, he may be worth it. I don't know. I don't want to judge anything like that. But there is a point that as Christians we ought to take, that Christians have a responsibility when we earn money that it is not just for us. It is for the blessing of others. If you know about the history of Colgate-Palmolive, the toothpaste and the toothbrush that we use, Colgate, they started as a company in the U.S. and then 90% of their profit was spent in charity. 90%. They only used 10% of their profit for reinvestment. How about that? If all the big companies who make these billions and billions of dollars in profits could set apart even half of their profits to address the poor people with no homes, no food, children starving, isn't that part of the ministry that God wants us to do?
Yes.
That's what James is reminding them. He's using some very, very harsh words here. He's reminding us that every blessing we have, every dollar, every opportunity, every possession is entrusted to us by God. And we are just stewards of the resources and not owners. God owns everything. We did not bring anything to this world, did you?
No, we didn't.
With our open hands, we were born, right? I didn't bring anything.
Amen.
And you are not going to take anything with you either. Just like you came to this world with open hands, you will be going from this world with your open hands. And I heard one story, I don't know if you heard, that Napoleon, who conquered a lot of countries during this time in this world, he was very young when he died. But he had one thing before he died, said, in my funeral, I want you guys to have my hands outside the coffin wide open. That's what they did. Showing the world that I conquered almost half the world at that time, but I am leaving with nothing. Left the rest to this world. That's what we are going to do. Don't think that we can take anything with us. I mean, there's like, you probably say that you've never seen a U-Haul following a hearse. Because you are not going to take anything. And all the wealth that you are going to leave here, who knows who is going to get it? We don't know who is going to get it. We think our children might get it. But after we are gone, we have no choice. We can't do anything. They might fight each other and the government might take it. Or somebody else might use it. The attorneys might get it. I see that a lot. People leave millions and millions of dollars, and who make more than half of that?
The lawyers.
And that's what's happening. And by the time all the lawsuits are settled, many of these children are probably dead by that time either, because it takes decades to settle some of these things. So remember that all of this wealth that God has given us, people who are in need around us that can use it. Let us use it for them. The church can use it. As we are alive, let us use that and see the results of our money working, rather than hoarding it and leaving it to someone. We don't know what they're going to do with it. There was in the first century AD, there was like a big volcano erupted in Italy. And we went and visited the site called Pompeii. 20,000 people died. And they excavated the area in the last century, and they still are excavating to find about the culture and the civilization and the style of people living. And these people were buried all of a sudden underneath because of the eruption. And many people were found in many different postures. Some of them were at the dinner table, and some of them were doing their studying. Some of them were playing, and they were all caught all of a sudden. It came in like very, very quickly. And there was one lady that they found the body, who had clutched in her hands thousands of precious stones that she had gathered in her hands and her lap, sitting in a chair. So probably when she was about to die, probably that's all she could grab. But what did she do? She couldn't do nothing with it. She died with it. So that's what Jesus said. You accumulate all of these things in your barns. You know, you had a good harvest. He talked about the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. He talked about this rich man who had a lot of land, and he harvested a lot of food. And then he gathered all of these things in his barn, and then he told himself, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow is not going to be mine. Probably so. And then Jesus said, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? What a very targeted question to that. Jesus taught about being rich towards God. Are we rich towards God or rich towards this world? If we are rich towards God, we cannot ignore the people who are around us. We cannot just buy ourselves to be rich, because we are rich because of God's creation in this world. And also, if we lose our focus, that Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The founder of Methodist Church, John Wesley, used to say this: if those who gain all they can and save all they can will likewise give all they can, then the more they gain, the more they will grow in grace, and the more treasure they will lay up in heaven. The more we share, the more treasure we lay up in heaven. The only things that we live in this world or will last is the ones that we give away. The greatest wealth is not what is kept, but what we give away. A person recently shared a story that her house was burned down. But a week before that, she was going to downsize her home, and she gave out a lot of stuff from her house freely to a lot of people. After her house burned down, she learned a lesson that the things that she gave away were remained. All the rest of the stuff she gathered together were burned down. What makes us Christians different from everybody else is not building our savings account, but to build up savings soul while we are alive. Our wealth and riches should be toward God. And then in 1 Timothy, Paul talks about the same thing, and he's saying, tell those who are rich, not to be proud and not to trust in their money. They should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need. And many, many areas of the scripture tells us that. What is our perception of our wealth? How do we see our wealth in this world? A Texas rancher met up with a guy from New York, and the New York guy visited the Texas rancher. And the rancher took him for a ride and told him that he operated his business in 125 acres. And the other guy said, "Oh, okay, I don't have that much in your hand, in my possession." And he said, it's small parts of land. So the New York guy doesn't have any land. He said, "I have probably less than 20 acres. "Oh, that is nothing." And the Texas man was so proud of his ranch, and he said, "Well, when I take up my truck on my ranch, I can get in my truck in sunrise, and I won't reach the end of the fence line of the property until sunset." It's a big ranch. Then the New Yorker guy thought for a moment and said, "Yeah, I used to have a truck like that." What is the perception that we have? What is our perception about wealth? What should I be proud of? Is it about my money, or is it about who I am? God wants us to look in ourselves. We ought to be proud of who we are rather than what we have. That's what the whole scripture from the beginning to the end. If you have love, friends, family, health, and a positive attitude towards life, you got everything. You can't buy any of these things. Then he also talks about the patient endurance with our faith. Even in the midst of trouble, we have talked about that before. He reminds us that our faith doesn't give up when it gets really dry and barren. Patience is not just about waiting. It is about how we wait and what leads us to the next lesson. There are two seasons in Palestine. He talks about the early rain and the latter rain. Two rains, rainy seasons in Palestine. Early rains that prepare the soil when you start planting. And the late rains is after your planting, the rains come and nourish them up to grow and have a good harvest. The farmer cannot control the weather. He must wait and trust in God. So our faith is also an enduring faith. It is not just for a minute or just on Sundays. It is an enduring faith even in the midst of trials. Patience is not passive. It is not sitting and doing nothing. It is strengthening our heart, trusting God's timing, and continuing to do good, even when results are not visible. When you are in the dark, don't rush to change your course. That is when God is building your faith. Then also he talks about integrity. He says in the words that let your words be yes and yes for yes and no for no. In verse 12, to say it's a simple yes or no, otherwise you will be condemned. We talked about that before. When we say something yes, as Christians, it has to be yes. What we mean is what we say. And no is a no, as the meaning that we ought to always remember. When life gets guarded, it is easy to lose control of our words. But waiting seasons are proving seasons. They reveal what's really in our hearts. And then he also talks about, at the end, caring for others by our prayers. Then shifts from patience to prayer. Prayer is not our last resort, it is our first response. If you care for somebody, you will pray for that person. And I honestly believe that. Because of the prayer that connects us together, are we alive and strong today. We are not by ourselves. There are many, many others who are praying for us. When I was in my lifetime, one time that I was out of job and waiting for the next job, and I was searching and I could not find jobs for a few months, and I posted a prayer online on a prayer site, like worldwide prayer site. I said, please pray for me that I find a good job. And I didn't know how many people read it. But even like several months after I got a job, even like 6 or 7 months later, somebody from Vietnam sent me a message. Did you find a job? I had no idea who that is. I said, thank you for your prayers. That is what prayer is. James is closing the whole letter about the importance of prayer. If we love somebody, we will pray for them regularly, not just for one time. And also, if somebody is backsliding and falling from faith, it is our responsibility to restore them, not to condemn them. Many times we become judgmental. People falling from their faith and then condemn. But that is not what Christian faith is all about. It is about redemption and restoration. So as Christians, let us also have remember the ministry of restoration that James is closing. He's closing with a call to care for one another. And if anyone among you wanders from the faith and truth, we ought to bring them back and restore them. The Christian life is not just a single solo journey. It is a community of believers lifting up one another, helping, forgiving, praying, and restoring. Like the farmer waiting for the rain, like Job and Elijah that he's referring in this chapter, praying for the impossible things. And they stood firm, and God answered their prayers according to his time. Be patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. Many times we may not see the results of our work immediately, but we have to wait. And important things in our lives need waiting. God makes a woman to wait 9 months to have a baby. Many women probably don't complain about it because they already know that. But some people probably might think, why can't I just have a baby in 2 months? That's not how it works, right?
Amen.
If you want a baby, you have to wait. Important things in your lives need waiting. But when it comes to prayer, we want microwave God. Push the button, give it to me. Right? That's not what Christian faith is. There's a time for everything, and God has a time which is better than our time. Amen. There is no shortcut. There is no shortcut to faith. So let us live a dynamic Christian living faith. In action, showing in actions our faith. In our words, not only just in words, but in our actions also. Caring for one another. Praying for one another. Supporting and lifting each other up. Even when somebody falters and fails, not to be judgmental, but to be compassionate, restoring them in faith. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place to be faithful witnesses for his kingdom in the days to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The closing hymn is My Faith Looks Up to Thee, is 452. If you are able, please stand for the closing hymn, 452.
Strength to my faith. God's goodness I dread, and griefs around me tread. Be thou my God, bid darkness turn to day, white sorrows tears away. No, let me ever stray from thee, and stream shall o'er me roll. Blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransom.
As the apostle talks about in this letter, be patient with your faith. Endure trials with God on your side. Therefore, brothers and sisters, our Lord is about to come, and he will restore us the way we should be. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.